Time to talk sport with Warwick. Hello, Warwick Hepfield.
Hello, Fran Kelly. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And sad news about John Olomi, wasn't it? The tributes are flowing from all over the world for the former All Black legend, I think is a word we can use for John Olomi. Yep. Even from those he once embarrassed mightily on the rugby field.
Yeah, look, Fran, Mike Catt, the England player that Lomu famously used as a doormat in the semi-final of the 1995 World Cup. That video footage has been shown a million times in the last 24 hours. He's joined in the long list of tributes to John Olomi. Catt says Lomu put him on the world rugby map, if for all the wrong reasons, but noted that while such a powerful force on the field, he was humble and sincere off it. And I think that's how many people found John Olomi when they actually got to meet him. I interviewed him for the Sports Factor, and apart from the fact that I thought the lights went out when he came into the studio, he was so big. He was, as Mike Catt said, humble and sincere and very, very affable and all those things, you know, signing autographs for all the ABC staff and all of that. Now, Wallaby legend David Campese, who ultimately became one of Lomu's friends, also paid his tribute. He said the moment he actually tackled John Olomi was one of the proudest moments in his career. And the former Australian halfback George Gregan called him rugby's first superstar, and he was certainly that. Now, the stats say Lomu played in 63 tests and scored 37 tries, but as we're alluding to, he did more than that. A sports person can have no finer tribute than being recalled for changing his or her game. He was built like an elephant, but as fast as a leopard, and he brought a whole new approach to wing play in rugby football. No longer did you put on the flanks a little bloke, not quite good enough to be scrum half, but good enough to play wingers, had to be monsters. Sadly, before his untimely death, even his great monstering career was cut short by kidney disease. He had that transplant not that long ago, but that was rejected, and in recent times he was dependent on dialysis, and he dies at the age of just 40, Fran, far
yes,
too young.
I remember when he emerged on the rugby scene and everyone was like, who is this man mountain that can, you know, what is it, dance like a butterfly and sting like a bee? But I remember the story about his mum saying he grew up eating yams. She used to feed him yams every day, and that there was a bit of a rush on yams there, the green grocers, for a while.
Yeah, look, he grew up in difficult circumstances in South Auckland as well, and part of the interview I did, he told the story. He had lots of anger management issues, and he had a school teacher who realised there was more to this man than just an angry young boy, and he put a punching bag downstairs under the school, and every time John Olomi got really frustrated with the world, he would just go down and punch that bag until he felt better and come back up, and eventually he found his way into rugby, and that was also a release for him. And I think there'd probably be a lot of people with number 14 or 15 on their back wish he'd never found his way into rugby, but there we have it. And as I said, Fran, it's sad that he goes, but his memory will... He is the first superstar, as George Gregan said, and I think his memory will go on for a very, very long time, particularly in the era when we have video footage. It's been, in a sad way, it's been a bit of a delight just to watch the things that he used to do on a rugby field in the last 24 hours.
Indeed, yes. The highlights have been fabulous, haven't they? Warwick, in cricket, meantime, yet another chance for Sean Marsh and a pink ball specialist chosen for the historic day-night test in Adelaide. Who's a pink ball specialist amongst them all?
Fran, it says everything about the modern game, that you can be a specialist in anything in cricket after just three games. The bloke's name is Stephen O'Keefe. He has that epithet, the pink ball specialist, included falling on him after he was included in a squad of 13 for the historic day-night game at the Adelaide Oval. Now, he's a left-arm spinner. He's played three times with the pink ball at the Adelaide Oval and has taken 18 wickets. Now, whatever its other qualities or lack of them, apparently the pink ball turns. But also, there's the fact that with the pink ball, you can't quite pick up the seam as well as you can with a red one or a white one. And, of course, spinners turn the ball. And if the batsman can't just see how much it's spinning, how many rotations are on the ball, as they say, well, it might be more difficult for them to pick up what's happening. There is a chance that Nathan Lyon and Stephen O'Keefe, two spinners, will play for Australia. The Australian coach, Darren Lehman, has not ruled that out yet. They're going to have a look at the wicket, of course, as they always do.
Oh, see, they're turning to spin because they've run out of fast bowlers. Can't find those fast bowlers we've been talking about. All right, Warwick, I'll talk to you again because you've got some big news at 7:30. We'll talk about another code hopper, not just a code hopper, an actual sport hopper. We'll save that news to 7:30. Thanks, Warwick.
Good on you, Fran.
Warwick Hadfield.